No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. All right, so coming up on today's show, we are going to help out a listener named James, who has, he shot me an email this week and is asking for some career counseling, some life coaching. He wants to make a change and is directing his attention towards becoming a private pilot. Now, you would think he would learn from my mistakes over the last year of listening to this show. However, despite my troubled flight path, he is very interested, and we are going to delve into that on the show a little bit later on with Ed and Keith as his life coaches. From an aviation standpoint, okay?
Thank you for clarifying
that. Well, you know, I mean, you guys could help him out on many levels. Am I right, Keith, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We could help him out on very many levels.
Yes, or screw him up permanently.
That would be if we let you deal with this.
Well, I'm going to chime in.
Oh, great.
So you got that to look forward to. But before we do that, we got to navigate the latest aviation news and information. And there's a few big stories that popped this week that we're going to delve into. One being that there was a survey that was released this week that evidently says that the general population does not want ATC privatized, or, you know, they actually think the FAA is doing a great job. Is that what you saw too?
Yeah, yeah. That they perceive, I think, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm okay with that because I don't want to privatize ATC either. But you know, it may not be not broken, but it might need some repair.
Okay, so you don't want to privatize ATC?
No, not at all.
Because one of the efforts is, as we know and we've talked about on the show over the last few months, is that there's a reauthorization of the FAA underway right now.
Yeah.
That seems to be bogged down in Congress, is like everything
Imagine
else.
That.
Yeah, and one of the solutions or potential solutions is to create a nonprofit organization and set up this private company to operate ATC. So you're not a fan of that idea?
No.
You don't like it. What about you, Keith? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I'd like to know why Ed says no.
Well, let's just get it out there first and find out who's on which side of the fence, and then we'll let the cage match take place, is my thought.
Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. One, we see how it worked with the post office. How is it going to work with ATC? Canada, yeah. It did it, and it doesn't work by anybody you talk to who flies in Canada.
Oh, really? No, yeah. I thought there was a lot of people that were looking at the Canadian air system thinking that's a model that we should follow.
Not the people that use the Canadian air system.
So all the Canadians say no, but the people that don't know any better, that aren't there, think, oh, yeah, that looks great.
Yeah, I have a customer that converted his Canadian certificate to a U.S. certificate, has become a citizen here.
Yeah.
But it was originally a private pilot in Canada. And, yeah, he made the Canadian CAA, I believe it, made the FAA look efficient.
Really?
Yeah.
And what is the problem then? What did he like? He just thought that they were just a bureaucratic mess?
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's just...
He actually literally almost had to go to Canada to solve the problem.
Hmm. So is it, but it's more of a matter of who sucks less, I think, really,
I think
as opposed to which system is better. And it obviously always depends on your perspective. So that is one anecdotal comment you've gotten that it may have affected your mindset in this regard. What about you, Keith?
Now, well, I'm not totally against it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you think this might be an alternative? And, you know, I guess my feeling would be, you know, could it be any worse, really? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think it can be any worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, typically private organizations can if the government lets them go in there and do a much better job, because they're going to make money so that people are actually going to work and do their job. Now, I'm not saying in the least bit that air traffic controllers don't do their job, because they do a fantastic job. It's the bureaucracy behind the air traffic controllers that needs to be repaired. And Ed just admitted that, but you're asking our government to fix something. And we all know that they can't fix anything.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. But evidently, more people agree with Ed than do Keith.
Well, so. and that may very well be. But how educated are the people as to exactly what's going on?
Did he just call me stupid?
I think Mr. Trump did pass that along.
Yeah. I think I did.
Ouch. Friends like that, who needs enemies?
There you go. I mean, I have flown into Canada, and I have flown into Canada when the government was running it and when they weren't. And, you know, where does it really fall? You got to remember that when the privatization took over, that they still had to follow all the rules and regulations that the government set up. Mm-hmm. And that's the real sticking point about flying into Canada and being a private pilot in Canada, but even an airline pilot going in and out of Canada. So, I mean, when we fly in and out of there, if we think that we might not going to be able to land there because the weather is low or something, we make that decision before we cross the border. You know, just because of all the red tape stuff that you got to go through if you have to divert into Canadian airspace and things like that. And that's not necessarily the privatization that's taken over and done that. That's the rules and regulations that have been put into place prior to.
Now, the one thing I have heard about the Canadian air system is that they are light years ahead of us technology-wise.
Yes,
because
I've heard
of that.
That too.
So maybe is it possible that the privatization has made them more efficient in that regard, and that's why they've gotten a leg up on us technology-wise?
Or is absolutely. Just, I mean, the private sector is going to make things happen. I mean, how many years has it been that our government has trying to update just the radar systems in our current U.S. airspace? And they're billions of dollars. They're billions of dollars over budget on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to happen if it goes into privatization. They're going to make it happen. They're going to get the funding for it, and they're going to make it happen instead of having to have all these studies and everything else. They would do it once, and they'd get it done.
Yeah. I wonder if the survey that was released this week was really just a matter of, well, we don't know what the alternative would be, and it'd probably only be worse. And, you know, we seem relatively safe. You know, planes aren't falling out of the sky, so if it ain't broke, don't fix it, kind of thing.
I think that's what's going on.
Yeah. So,
and that's what I meant by my comment is, you know, how educated are the people? I mean, how many people, other than the aviation community in and of itself, really knows exactly what air traffic control does and how they operate?
No, true.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, if you did that survey in the aviation community, now, I don't think it would be we'd get the same results, I'm guessing. Would you agree, Ed? What do you think?
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be substantially different.
I don't know if it'd be substantially different. Because, like, so right here, you've got two somewhat opposing opinions of it. And I think you probably would see a pretty split level.
Yeah. So you got Keith on the right and you on the wrong?
No.
I'm joking.
Definitely I'm not the left, okay?
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? And I guess my thing would be, yeah, how much worse could it be? I mean, what do you got to lose, really, to take it private, private organization, set it up as a nonprofit. Nobody's going to make any money out of this deal. It's just like, hey, will this be more efficient? I don't know that it could be any worse. I mean, it'd be like one half dozen the other, and maybe it could be better. I guess that's how I would look at it.
My concern with it is that it's a step going further towards user fees and away from the current fuel tax. which I'm vehemently opposed
to. And we've had that conversation in Congress quite a bit. Yeah. Some people bring that up. So, yeah, that, you know, that's a good point, Keith. I think he might have one up on you on that. That if you want to look at it down that line, who no one wants user fees, and if they did privatize, that'd be one of the first things I think some of the bureaucrats would throw out there. Oh, well, we're going to have to do this because we got to fund this new organization to do this, blah, 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 blah. You think?
I think you're right. I think that's exactly what they would try and do. However, I think that if they continue to fund it the exact same way,
and give them the money.
Work under, and give them the money, actually, yes. You know, but the money would be spent in a more effective manner if a private organization is doing it. They're not going to just continue to throw money at a project that's not working. I mean, how can you be billions of dollars off budget on, you know, replacing the radar system in the country?
Well, that's what government does.
I think it might be a more efficient way to do things, but it all comes down to where's it going to get funded, how's it going to get funded.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree or just kind of somewhat agree. Time will tell, and we'll have to leave it there for now. All right, we got more coming up on Just Plain Radio, including some career counseling.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
To know me is to fly with me. This is where I live.
Fly away, fly away. As a bird can take us away.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Flight Training Professionals, FTPros.com, the website to go to and connect with them. As your flight instructor. And maybe that's what you want to do. You want to do a career change. And that brings us to this segment of the show where we delve into career counseling with Ed and Keith. A new segment here on Just Plain Radio. And to set it up accordingly, we've had a listener that's went to justplainradio.com. He clicked on the Get on the Air tab and posed a question to the crew.
Hello, this is J.M. Bradley from Ohio. And I'd like to see if we can get a discussion today on the show regarding what it takes to get a private pilot's license from start to finish.
Okay.
And then maybe even taking a step farther. I'm a truck driver, and I have my own rig, and freight rates are just bad right now. And I'm thinking that if I become a pilot, I can move on to something, I guess commercial would be the proper term, something you can move freight not people necessarily. Mm-hmm. Been listening to Scuba Radio for a little over 2 years. I'm fairly new to this radio show. And keep up the good work, and I'll be listening.
Well, there you go. Well, James, I appreciate you reaching out here to our crew at Just Plain Radio, and definitely appreciate the fact that he listens to Scuba Radio. So, obviously, he's my fan. I don't know if he likes you guys. I guess it'll depend.
Once again, it's all about Greg.
Well, it'll depend on how you react and what kind of guidance you can lend this truck driver. And this kind of hits close to home with Keith because he is a former commercial truck driver. Am I right, Keith? Right?
That is correct. I drove trucks for 11 years.
And so. You did exactly what James is aspiring to do, which is ditch the wheels and head for the skies, right?
That's right. Yeah, I did. Now, I started my flight training back when I was 16 years old, knowing that I wanted to do some flying, but I didn't know I wanted to do it commercially until later in life. But, driving trucks, I can understand where he's at, and the freight numbers are down, so the pay is going down. You work longer hours, and that's been regulated. We've talked about the regulation on this show for the pilots. Truck drivers are getting the same thing, so okay. I can understand why he wants to make the change.
And he's probably heard us talking about the shortage of pilots that they're looking at having over the next 10 years, which is crazy. And so I think he sees an opportunity to make a career change. Do something similar to what he's been doing, which is hauling stuff around. He wants to evidently go work, for like FedEx or UPS in the sky?
Possibly.
Think? Yeah? I mean, is that a viable gig there, Ed? What do you think?
Yeah, it's one of the top-end jobs in the business. There's some work to get to there. There are some other cargo carriers that you can work in to work your way up there, or even a lot of people have gone through the passenger airlines and ended up at the cargo airlines.
Yeah. So a passenger airline gig is a lower level than working for like UPS or FedEx?
No, not necessarily, but boxes don't talk back.
Well, exactly. So it's more attractive, appealing.
And the one FedEx pilot said, he says, those boxes can wait an hour and we can wait for a little bit better weather to get in there.
Okay.
But, you know, it is a higher pay scale because all your flying is done at night.
Hmm.
But it's not for everybody.
Okay.
It has its advantages and disadvantages. Skies are clearer at night, less traffic at night.
Oh, yeah.
And so those kinds of things, it's really great.
So
however, it is tough on your body.
Yeah, you're a third shifter, this might be a good gig for you.
Yeah.
If you don't mind the hours being up all night and that kind of thing.
You know, and I know a lot of these guys, they come home and they're home for the weekend and got to switch their body clock around.
Yeah.
And it never really switches around.
No.
Well, that's what makes it tough on the body. The circadian rhythms of your body is really gets messed up if you're working nights. Now, not all freight companies work nights, though.
No, true.
Mm-hmm. So, but all it is an option for them.
Okay. So, do you think, knowing your history, do you think he's looking in the right direction? If he's frustrated with being in the truck, that this taking the flight training plan might be good. And I will say he's in his upper 30s, I believe.
Okay. That's kind of important. How long will he be able to work?
Exactly. But
commercially, he can fly for an airline, for a 121 carrier, he can fly until he's 65 years old.
Okay.
So if he's upper 30s, he's still got, a good amount of time where he can get himself vested, and now is a great time to get in.
Right.
So
what's the best option for him? To go to like flight training professionals and get his private pilot license? Well, at a flight school like that, or what?
There's a lot more to it than just the private pilot certificate.
Yeah.
That's the first step on the path.
Mm-hmm.
Private pilot followed by instrument rating, followed by a commercial certificate. And then because you've got to somehow bridge the gap between a commercial pilot and even now the first officers on the 121 carriers have to have ATP, airline transport pilot certificates, which is 1,500 hours. So figuring out how to build that gap either by being a flight instructor or maybe working for a Part 135 operator, they don't have to have the ATP, pipeline patrol, banner towing. There's some things that are better.
Corporate.
Yeah, there's some things that are better for the resume than pipeline patrol,
Yeah. Now, wait, pipeline patrol means what?
If there's like a gas line across the ground, they'll fly pipeline or power lines just to make sure they're in good condition and they're not any breaks in it or any wear and tear.
Okay.
So it's low and slow and in hopefully good weather conditions, but sometimes not all that good weather. Not exactly what they're looking for in an airline pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those jobs are getting fewer and fewer, though, yeah. And now it's aerial mapping.
Yeah.
That's the real big one.
Okay, but these are just gigs where you can rack up a lot of hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And now, that's what you have to get.
My preference is someone who, you know, is enthusiastic about it, can become a flight instructor, gain a lot of flight time, but also flight experience, mm-hmm. judgment, crew resource management skills. That I think would make them very attractive to a future employer.
Right. Now, but in this case, in James' specific case, he wants to fly cargo. So he doesn't sound like a people person to me. You know what I'm saying?
No, but he still has to have the CRM skills because he has to be able to interact and work with the crew that he's flying with.
Hmm.
And so the CRM skills, the ability to work with people, whether it's the people in the back of the airplane, most pilots don't have a whole lot of interaction with them. They just get the flight attendants calling you up going, you know, hey, I got this one going this, I got this one doing this.
Right.
That they get tired of messing with, you know. And sometimes the flight attendants themselves can be, you know, a pain to mess with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing how to have those CRM skills is definitely a good. And he's probably got that already because he deals with, you know, loading dock workers.
Yeah.
And, you know, dispatchers and stuff like that, which is the same thing he's going to be dealing with. So there's a lot of similarities between truck driving and flying airplanes.
And with the CDL, he's already got a medical requirement. He's got to have regular physicals. Same thing with flying. So there would be a lot of things that he would find very similar.
Okay. So you give him two thumbs up. You think he ought to take the...
At that age, at this time, I'd say go for it.
Go for it. And you agree, Keith. Is that right?
I do.
Well, there you go, James. Hopefully that'll help you out. And if you succeed, we'll take all the credit. And if you fail, well, don't blame us.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so a little bit later on, the top five easiest planes to learn to fly in. We're going to share that with you, according to the internet. And Ed, I guess, has some thoughts on this as well. But we'll share that in just a bit. But a little program note or a flashback to a story we were talking about a few weeks ago with the air races, right?
Yeah, Reno Air Races. Unlimited Gold Class winner is Hoot Gibson in Strega, modified P-51. And this was actually, for the last, like, 7 years, Steve Hinton had won in couple different, actually, in Strega, then in Voodoo, and so he changed airplanes a couple of years ago, but kept winning. But this year he came in second, which is kind of a big deal. Steve was a kid that grew up around these airplanes. He's younger than me, and then, like I say, Hoot Gibson's actually a former astronaut turned race pilot. And so, what is even more fun is a good friend of ours, Greg. Not Greg Holt, but Greg Roop, has been out there watching the races. And so I've been watching his posts on Facebook saying, jealous, 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 because I want to go out there. I think you need to fund that next year, Greg, and take us and the Just Plain Radio
crew. Now you're talking to me.
Yes, I'm talking to this Greg.
Okay, just
Greg
wanted to
Holt,
clarify.
That you should take us out there and so we can cover Reno Air Races next year.
I do like the idea. How many planes do they have competing? You have any idea?
Usually, probably, but there are different heats and different levels. The gold level or the unlimited level are former World War II airplanes, and they're running probably in three different classes, you know, 10 to 15 airplanes. And then you have a T6 class where they're racing the T6s, mm-hmm. and then there's a Formula One class, which is our little bitty fast racers, and then now they also have a jet class. So mm-hmm. it's a week full of awesome flying, and they have an air show in it. It's on my bucket list. So if you're going to pay for it, I'm there next year.
All right, sure, Ed, I can make this happen. Let me grab Keith's credit card, and we'll be good to go. Count on it for next year. Okay.
Okay.
That makes it much easier. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
Place. This is Just Plain Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle. I am Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so we're going to the air races here next year.
In Reno.
And then we're going to bet on black while we're in between races. And then we'll probably bring one of those planes home. All compliments of Keith's credit card, which I forgot to thank you in the last segment, Keith. So, you know, thank you. You're so nice. So generous.
You're so welcome, Greg.
Yeah. Yes. Well, there you go. So we got that part covered. Let's get back
to... Did you call the credit card company and cancel all your cards already?
Quiet. All right. So James had sent us a little voicemail. I was asking for some career counseling on going from a truck driver to a private pilot. And,
commercial pilot. I mean, well, private pilot's a start, but...
Yeah, he was delivering stuff in his truck, and he figured, hey, I could do this in the sky and have a better view. And should I do it? And I think we've answered the first part of his questions, which is yes, go for it. If you're in that position in your life where you want to change, there is definitely a shortage of pilots evolving as we speak, and it's looking pretty promising for people that want to get into aviation in that regard.
Yep.
And you might have plenty of opportunities. Now, the fastest track to that, you were saying maybe become a flight instructor.
I think we need to roll it back a little bit and talk about the training leading up to that, and what to look for when selecting a training organization, a flight instructor, and all that. Do you know where he's from?
No.
Ohio.
Yeah,
Ohio?
That sounds right. I think he said that, didn't he? Maybe.
But he did.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Keith was listening, and so. All right, he's from Ohio, but why would that make a difference? But you're from Ohio, so...
I'm from Illinois.
Well, I mean, but you lived in Ohio.
Yes, I lived in that neck of the woods. Yeah, I lived in Cincinnati.
And, Sporty's is up in that area,
yeah, Sporty's
right?
Sporty's up in that
so
area.
So he has plenty of options in his local
there
area.
That's the part of Ohio. It may not be in that part of Ohio, but there are mm-hmm. training options available. You know, the first thing he's got to decide on, one, is, you know, where to do the private pilot. And my advice is to make sure you want to do this as a career. Do the private first, but you got to make sure you get a good foundation. Literally, while we're sitting here doing the show, I got a text from one of my customers. He did his private pilot with us while he was in high school, and just went off to college. And he's in an aviation training program, and he was just texting me, telling me that he was halfway through his instrument rating, and that he is really cruising through the program, and it's really easy because of the good foundation that we gave him in in our training program. Yeah. And so that makes me feel real good, one, that he gets that, but two, it reiterates the point that we'd like to make to James is, you know, the private pilot is actually the cornerstone of all of your flying. Hmm. And that the basics that you need to be a professional pilot are really introduced in the private pilot. And if you get the right school, the right instructor, you can establish a fabulous foundation, and it will lead to an easy time later on in the training and in your career as a pilot. Don't you agree, Keith?
Absolutely. On a number of things there, the instructor is so important because it will end up costing you less money to get all your ratings, number one. Number two, that foundation is so critical. Things just as simple as seat position. Why the seat position is so important and having the proper one. And we get people all the time that don't have the proper foundation. And when they get to the airline transport pilot, they want to get a type ride done. Man, some of them struggle so hard because they don't have the fundamentals of flying an airplane. Seat position, how to trim an airplane.
Yeah, I was gonna say trim.
How to use an autopilot. You know, situational awareness, decision-making skills. Those are all the very, very foundation of learning how to fly. And those are the things that carry you throughout, no matter what kind of an aviation job you get, whether it's flying for yourself, whether it's flying freight, whether it's flying passengers, helicopters, doesn't matter. You got to be able to do all those things.
And where do you learn them? You learn them in the private. And
got it.
And that's the thing that a lot of people, and you know, I get a little frustrated sometimes because I've had some airline youth come to us, dad's an airline pilot, and he's been an airline pilot for 20 years, and he didn't get a good foundation in his training, and as he goes through his training, he just, you know, got to the airlines, and that's where he learned everything. And in his mindset, his kid's going through the training, and you know, we're taking too long, we're doing too much, and you know, because we want to establish this foundation. I've kind of gotten to the point where I really don't even want to train airline pilot kids anymore because, you know, dad knows more than we do. Mm. And in reality, the good ones, the ones that really understand what they need to do as airline pilots, they send their kids to us because they know we're going to put that right foundation on them.
Got it.
And so used to be it was the case. The private was just, oh, quick, get it anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But what Keith's telling you is what the airlines are seeing is it actually does matter.
Yeah.
And get that right foundation. And it doesn't, yeah, flight training professionals, you're going to get that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's kind of hard for somebody from Ohio to do flight training in Florida unless he's just going to uproot and come down here. But there are a lot of good flight instructors, I'm sure, in his area that can establish that right foundation. And it's selecting the school, the flight instructor, and the aircraft to train in that is probably the toughest thing because it's not like buying a car. You can buy a Ford Ranger. Well, I guess you can't. They're not new anymore. But Ford Focus, let's say,
right,
at any Ford dealership in town, and to get all the same options, same color. And so it's all about comparing price.
Mm-hmm.
The reality about flight training is price is not the right way to shop. It's important. It's part of the factor. But getting the right instructor that can teach you well the first time, fewer repetitions result in fewer hours, which actually reduces the cost of training. Because every hour you're in the airplane, you're paying for the instructor and the airplane.
Right. So you have to interview your potential flight instructor or the representatives from the flight school.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How you get a, you know, whatever vibe you get from them. Hopefully it's a positive thing, and you kind of have to follow your gut in that sense. But I would imagine there's some key questions that you could ask as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. How many people have you signed off for solo?
Mm-hmm.
How many people have you signed off for the private or instrument, you know, depending on what the instructor is qualified to teach? How long have you been teaching? What are their goals? Are their goals to get to the airlines? Because right now airlines are grabbing people as fast as they can get the hours.
Mm.
And so you want to make sure that you get somebody who's going to be there for a while as well so that, you know, you don't get stuck by, you know, we've had a number of customers that have come to us, man, I've been through four instructors already.
Yeah.
And if it happens prior to the solo, the new instructor is required to go through, you know, 15 different maneuvers with you to verify that you can do them safely and efficiently, and then you can solo. And all of that takes more time and takes more money, so you really have to do your homework on your instructor.
And the other thing about when looking at the instructor, you know, it's does this person seem really enthusiastic about teaching? Because they've got to make the experience fun. Sometimes training's not fun, the repetition of it. And so having somebody there that's enjoyable in the airplane makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other side of the coin, when it comes to you know, finding the right airplane, finding the right school, you know, there are a lot of resources out on the internet to do that as well. And there are actually, within the National Association of Flight Instructors, instructors listed in, so you can look for geographically and find a good instructor that way. Doesn't mean that everyone on that list is good, but that at least gets you some contacts, some names. Also, Cessna Pilot Centers, you can look up and find a Cessna Pilot Center near you on the Learn to Fly website. And so they're
AOPA.
AOPA, and actually looking at AOPA, and they have a what they call the Flight School Honor Roll schools that customers have actually given feedback to AOPA, and we've been one the last 2 years. In fact, the 2 years they've been doing this survey, and it's customer feedback saying, you know, hey, this is a good school, or hey, this is, they also have instructor awards and things like that. So there's a lot of resources to go out there and find that right match, but that foundation is super critical.
And we'll get into what type of planes you should potentially learn to fly in next, right here on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. A little career counseling going on today. James had a question on, you know, what to do if he wanted to change careers from a truck driver and become a private pilot. And we're trying to share some of those little tidbits. We haven't done that in a while.
And, you know, it's always great information for anybody thinking about getting into the world of aviation, whether for fun or for business. So we've covered the base on what you need to do as far as looking for a flight instructor, some questions you should ask them or the flight school, what to look out for, their history, that kind of thing. Let's talk about gear. Let's talk about equipment. And I found an article this week listing the top five trainers, planes, their most popular trainers that flight schools are using across the country, if not the world. So let's run them down, and Ed and Keith, you guys give me your thoughts. Because okay. There was one of them that I wasn't familiar, and that came in at number five, and that was the American Champion Sabria. No, what is it?
Satabria.
Satabria. That was
which
close
is?
Enough. Spanish? No.
No, it's aerobatic spelled backwards.
Well, there you okay. So it's a yeah. It says that this particular plane actually has characteristics to it, or level. It can handle more G forces than a lot of planes.
Yeah,
similar.
It's designed for an aerobatic trainer, but it really stems from the Champ, which was a competitor to my favorite airplane, the Cub.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And, you know, as far as handling characteristics, I've taught in them, I've flown them, and I've taught in them, and they are a very straightforward airplane, kind of fun in the spin.
Would imagine
that
they're an acrobatic airplane.
After the first turn, the spin starts accelerating.
Which looks cool.
It's a good trainer, good tail. It's a tailwheel, which is also my favorite. Teaches somebody what their feet are for. It's spring steel gear, which makes it a little tough on the wheel landings, which is where you come in and put it on only the main two wheels and keep the tailwheel off. But on the 3-point landing, it's just like flying a 172 in that manner.
Okay.
You set the nose and let it settle in, and then the fun starts with any tailwheel.
Very nice. All right, so this is the top five trainers in sense that they're the easiest to fly, according to flight instructors across the country and around the world.
That is an easy tailwheel to fly, but we're classifying that as it's a tailwheel. It's going to be more challenging than a nose gear airplane.
Okay. All right, well, let's go next on the list. We have a Diamond D-20 or DA-20 from Katana.
It's a Katana. It's actually Diamond is the aircraft manufacturer.
Okay.
I've got a good bit of experience with these. We use them in the school down in South Florida that I work for. Fun little airplane, fiberglass airframe, kind of bulletproof airplane. Engines were a little less than perfect. They're kind of persticky on the maintenance. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of maintenance hogs.
But they're economical. They
were basically designed to compete against the Cessna 150 because they're, you know, burning 4 gallons an hour, but getting 120 knots. So it was a fast little airplane.
Well, and the next one on the list is the Cessna 150 or the 152.
Yeah, which, you know, it's a time-honored trainer. Keith, I think we both have, you know, a few hundred, if not, I probably have close to maybe 1,500 hours in 150s or 152s.
I have zero in a 150, but I've got quite a bit in a 152.
Okay, you wouldn't fit in a 150,
no,
is what you're saying.
No, you would, but I can only imagine what it was like with you in a 152. Your knees had to be around your ears.
Mm-hmm. They were.
Imagine Chewbacca in a closet or something. I don't know. Too small a space. All right, yeah, so they're very small airplanes, but, you know, if you've just got one or two people, small people, it would be a good trainer.
I fit in them really well when I was initially teaching because I was, you know, 165 pounds and 5'8". Mm. Now I'm not. I'm still 5'8". I'll leave it at that.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Let's go to the next one on the list is a Piper PA-28. So, you know, Captain Clay, our correspondent out there in Wyoming, he flies a Piper, but I don't know if he trained one.
Well, his Dakota was a version of the PA-28. Okay. It was a bigger engine version.
When I'm looking at the picture, it looks very similar to the plane he flies even now. I mean, to the Saratoga. It looks very similar. Low wing.
Low wing.
And this is the only
seats.
Low wing in the top five here that they have.
No, the Katana is.
Oh, the Katana. Okay, I guess you're right. There it is. All right. So, yeah, okay. So that's a good one? That's a good trainer?
It's a good one. The landing characteristics, it likes to float a lot, but it's a good basic trainer. I am a little more partial to Cessna products than Piper products, but you know, that I've flown many a Warriors, Archers, and Cherokee 140s, and all that. That they've got a very straightforward stall characteristic, which is nice. A very pronounced buffet, more so than the Cessna does.
Got it. Well, and you're not alone on the Cessna, because Cessna 172 is by far the number one trainer as far as ease of flying, according to flight instructors and schools around the world, with over 43,000 in service, I guess, since 1956. Yep. This has been the trainer of choice for some time. The plane that I have actually learned to fly in, just haven't completed. And it took it out of service after I flew it too much, something like that. I don't know.
Well, no, we're not going to go there. You wore it out.
Yeah, that's it. I flew it so well, or something to that effect.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah. But, Sal, you agree with that list?
Yes, I do agree with
Keith,
that.
Keith, you think? Yeah?
I do. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
I think the 172, the reason it's been so successful is it's an airplane you can train in, and then after you have your training, you can then turn around and take it as a rental, build more experience. You can use it for your private. You can use it for your instrument. And that's where the 152 kind of fell short, is you could use it for some of your instrument, but you couldn't use it for all the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why the 172 came out on top on that one. It is a straightforward airplane, and that would be the airplane I would recommend James look for, is a 172.
Hopefully that'll help James out and maybe a few other folks that are thinking about taking that flight path into aviation as a career. And we'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.